Good afternoon, everyone. This is Leila Pence and Dryden Pence. We are season 4, episode 5. Today, June 15, 2023. Our podcast has a lot of very good information today. Especially, of course, we're going to be covering the Fed decision, what happened yesterday, and then where do we go from here with regards to interest rates? And then we'll talk about the market outlook and mostly also earnings. We have a big earnings season starting. And then what sectors do we like? And then a client question. So with that, I'm going to get right into it. You know, yesterday was the first time since last year the Fed finally skipped raising interest rates, right? They've been raising interest rates every time they meet. And they were supposed to pause, but they actually skipped. Skip means they came out and says, we're not going to raise interest rates yesterday. But what they indicated is that they will probably raise interest rates in July and one more time during the year, but they will be data dependent. Inflation is not coming down as fast as they think or as they would like. And they wanted to keep the doors open to let us know that this is not it for raising interest rates, that they will most likely be very dependent and they're most likely raise interest rates at least in July. So that is a change, and that freaked out the market for a bit yesterday. But of course, the market today said, oh, well, you know, the end is near, you know, interest rates, even if they go 2 more times, we can handle that. So Dryden, tell us exactly kind of what happened. Why did they even skip? Because a lot of the questions to them yesterday from the newscasters, well, why bother skipping if you're going to raise again?
Sure. I think it's important to understand the magnitude of what has happened. If you go back to those of us who remember back in the 80s, the Fed went from 10 to 20 at one point, which was a doubling of interest rates. However, what they've done in the last, you know, 18 months was they went from zero to, you know, now 5.25. And that's a 20 times increase. So the magnitude of the change has been far greater than anybody ever expected. And this is unprecedented territory. Not only that, people really don't understand, and we've talked about this a lot, they don't understand the lag effects. Fed makes a decision over a 2-day period, market adjusts in 5 minutes. But households and businesses still need a lot of time. So no one really knows, is the lag effect of the previous increases, is it 3 months, is it 6 months, is it 7 months, what is it, right? And so even though the interest rate is now 5.25, what the economy today is reacting to is probably, you know, 4%. Or 4.25, you know, so the magnitude is coming down. So when you think about the number of months involved and the time frames involved, there are these lag effects. And so what this is the skip is actually a natural progression of the change of the heightening discipline. They went from 75 to 50, to 25, and then rather than a pause, they're going like, yeah, let's do 25 every other time, you know? And that's not unprecedented. That is like, we're close to the end. We don't know if we're really there because we don't know all of this behavior. So a skip, not a pause, it is a skip, is a logical progression of the end of a heightening regime. And so fine, we take that off now. Now we look at maybe July, we hit it. Maybe we go again in September. You've got to remember, you now have skipped months. You know, we skip in August just because when they all go on vacation, whatever the Fed governors do, right? And so the real issue that we have to look at is we're waiting for the results of the Fed. And the bottom line is, and we've said this a couple of times, no one told the American consumer, don't fight the Fed, right? We in the financial services industry know that, but the American consumer is doing what American consumers do. They consume. And right now, they are teaching the Federal Reserve a very, very valuable lesson about patience. And so I think that as we look through this, it's actually favorable. We'll get into that in the other parts of the questions you have for me, Layla, of how all this weaves its way through.
Yeah, because, you know, they don't like to surprise the market. And the market, basically, they've been indicating that they would skip, and that's what they did. And they needed to, like Dryden was saying, because they need to see the effect. Because the numbers are coming down. They're just not coming down as fast. And they have a meeting. The next meeting is July 26th. And then they have a two-month lag after that. They're 2 months vacation. So our feeling is that they will they most likely raise 0.25% just as an insurance policy. Because obviously inflation numbers are not down to the 2% projected inflation rate in a couple of years. So they want to they don't want to leave it and not have it where they could raise two more interest rates, but most likely our indication is that we'll probably do one in July and then wait. So there's quite a bit of change in their economic projections. So they actually thought last March when they met, they thought GDP would only be 0.4. GDP right now is 1.3. They think it'll go down to 1 point. So obviously even the Fed is on board now. There's really not going to be a recession because you actually have growth in the economy when you have a GDP of 1 or 1.3. They also talked about unemployment rate. They had projected would be at 4.5 by the end of the year. Now they've changed that projection to 4.1. So people are still going to be employed. Inflation is going to be slow to go down. And the most important thing that is their inflation numbers. They had projected that they would be at 3.6. Now they think inflation is going to be at 3.9, which is why, you know, we talked last time about them maybe pausing or skipping, but now we do think there may be another interest rate hike because inflation, even their projections, are not coming down as fast.
Here's the whole thing. The economy, remember, we put a ton of stimulus into the economy. The economy is not slowing down as much as the Fed wants it to, which is good in some sense because it doesn't look like we're having the much predicted in recession. Doesn't look like it's going to happen. As you guys know, we've been in the shallow recession or no recession camp for quite a while, and it looks like the rest of the world's catching up to that. The Fed is, you know, trying to slow down growth because they're worried about inflation, but they're just not able to bring it down. Going from 9 to 5 is pretty simple, and we've done that. Going from 5 to 2 is really, really hard. And what I want everybody to recognize is we're not getting to a 2% inflation rate anytime soon. That means we're not getting to a 2% Fed funds rate anytime soon. Even the Fed's own projections are now kicking that out to 2025. I think we're probably 2026. And the important thing is to recognize that it's not the end of the world. If you saw the client luncheon, you recognize that for 50% of the period of time between 1971 and now, we've had interest rates north of 4, interest rates north of 3, inflation rates at 3 or 4%. So we're moving back into an environment that is pre-new normal, right? And pre-new normal was okay. And so I think we just need to get perspective on that, because also, as you think about what does that mean for markets and earnings on the rest of the year? We think there's a change. And the change is you've seen the market go up a lot. It's 10 stocks, right? 10 stocks have led everything so far. And they're high flyers, and they've done that. And now that we're getting closer to that skip, pause, whatever you want to call it, right? Is that we're going to see this, two things happen. We probably might see a rotation in some of those high flyers but then a broadening out of the positivity in the market. Because what you're seeing is we're not having a recession. Everybody was doing their earnings estimates based on having a recession. Everyone did their predictions based on having a recession. And so you're actually going to see probably a lot of earnings surprises here second quarter as data starts coming in, some revisions come in, and then you're going to see CFOs begin to actually be a little more positive on their outlook because they now know the worst case scenario on cost of goods sold is maybe 50 basis points higher, not, you know, 200 or 300 basis points higher. So we now have greater predictability of cost of goods sold. We have greater predictability of interest rate costs. We have greater predictability of profit margin. So we have greater predictability of what's going to go in the economy. This is what I'm talking about now is third and fourth quarter. And that's about as far as the crystal ball is going to go right now. And so I think that that's what we're looking at for the rest of this year. So it's a generally positive outlook, data dependent, and broader based than we've had in the first part of the year.
Because even though we've had a decent market, 40% of the S&P stocks are down this year. So it has not been a general increase in the markets. It's really been sector specific and area specific. The tech stocks and so forth do best in slow growth, and they've anticipated slow growth, so the tech stocks have done well. And then if we do think that the economy is not going to go into recession, which we feel that way, that we hope some of the rest of the stocks that have been underperforming will start to catch up, and that would be really good for the markets. I want to go back a minute to let you know what the Fed said yesterday about where they think interest rates is going to be this year, next year, and the year after, because you can see that what they're predicting, they made it very clear to the market what their intentions are. Doesn't mean that they'll follow it, but based on their current data and the outlook. So right now, they thought they would stop at 5.1 in interest rates, but they came out and said they will do 5.6, which means two more interest rate hikes of 0.25% each. The market doesn't believe them right now. The market is kind of saying one interest rate increase probably in July. But they said next year they thought rates would go down to 4.3, but now they're saying 4.6. So what does that mean? It means interest rates are going to start going down next year. Okay. And then they predicted then in 2025, they thought interest rate would be at 3.1. Now they say 3.4. So right now we feel that we're going to continue having this inverted yield curve, which means shorter term rates will be higher than longer term rates. And the reason that's the case, because the Fed is saying, hey, in 2 years, we're not going to be at 5.6, we're going to be at 3.4. So they predict that they're going to reduce rates by 2% because you can't have these long-term interest rates, these high rates forever. That is a debt service. The whole economy cannot sustain that for a very long period of time. So they're predicting an interest rate. So in you thinking about if you're buying real estate or if you're doing, you know, any sort of long-term planning, know that we're going to stay with these high rates for a while, but a couple of years rates will be coming down. And of course, that bodes well for the markets.
I think the key thing is again, everybody just has to have a little patience here. But the market does well in these environments. The economy does well in these environments. We're able to continue through in these environments, and it's not, again, it's just having a little bit more perspective about this. But again, we think broader base market, back half of the year, pretty decent earnings surprises. You do see some slowing down sector by sector by sector, but we also think there's another issue here. You're probably going to see some continued margin expansion. If a company wanted to raise their price last year, they did. They got away with price increases when everything was 9%, whether they needed to or not. And therefore, now companies have seen input costs come down. They've got to adjust that fixed income piece. If they don't
If they don't, I mean, their debt service costs, if they don't have a lot of debt, they're probably in pretty decent shape. And the point is now they're going to see if your costs come down as supply chains have cleaned up and oil prices have come down, then your margins go up. And I do want to bring something up about the war in the Ukraine, oil prices, and all those things, right? We probably will, they say we've started the counteroffensive over there. It's really a reconnaissance in force. So you'll probably see the main counterattack happen soon, but they're kind of looking for where's the weak point. But that's going to begin to change outlooks going forward on commodities and oil prices. What you're seeing now, the data of this rapid decline in headline inflation, the headline inflation is below core. That is due to the fact that oil prices were so darn high a year ago, right? So a lot of this is what you're seeing are math and pricing anomalies as opposed to normalization. So we have to be very careful about this, not to get too far ahead of ourselves. You're going to hear people declaring inflation is over, and that's going to be a misnomer. And I think that you're going to have to find that we're in kind of a grind on this issue for probably the next 2 to 3 quarters as we go through these variable lags. But for the market, that's not a negative thing. For the market, again, we think this broad-based strengthening that we're going to see in earnings is a positive for now to the end.
And the one thing we know is that humans adjust. We adjust. Consumers adjust. They adjust to whatever. They get over the shock. Okay, they were in shock to see ticket prices. Airline ticket prices so high. Now they want to travel, they pay them. They were in shock to see hotel prices so high, but if they want to travel, they pay them. If they see interest rates being high on mortgages, but if you need to buy a house, they pay them. The other advantage, the other thing that the Fed is not taking into account, in our opinion, is the fact that for the very first time in a long time, 15 years, we have an interest rate. So people that were putting money in the banks or even bonds and so forth were actually earning 4 or 5%. So even though things cost more, but they also have extra income that they didn't have before just because there's instruments right now. They're paying their interest rates, which is keeping the consumer healthier, which is one of the reasons all the Wall Street now is not predicting a recession because their savings, yes, is down, but they're still saving. But there's income, and there's also people are working that have gotten increases, and which is why the Fed is saying, you know what, we're only going to skip. We can't pause because things are not going down as fast. They would like to see things slower, but there's headwinds, they're working against them.
I want to give some perspective here. You got to be careful what you listen to. A few things, that you saw this tick up in unemployment numbers and stuff like that. And somebody sent in some questions about that. But, okay, you had this anomalous pickup in unemployment. Well, that isn't a pickup in unemployment. That's the fact that in it's either Michigan or Minnesota, teachers who have a teaching job during the summer can go on unemployment. So you had all the teachers in the state of Minnesota go on unemployment, even though they have jobs, right? And so you see these anomalies in the numbers, but it gets reported into the press that, oh my gosh, unemployment's going back up. And people overreact. So you got to be careful to look behind. Well, that's what we do for you, is we're going to look behind the numbers and go, yeah, not really. And it's just like when you're looking at job additions and wage growth. Here's the important. Yes, we've had wage growth, but the wage growth that we have had, the most of it has been in production and non-supervisory work. So the people that went for a decade without a pay raise have gotten one, and they're having more rapid wage growth than senior executives. Folks, that's not a bad deal. And the reason why I say that is they're having real wage growth. Their wages are growing faster than inflation. That real wage growth is putting more real dollars in their pocket, but it does not stay in their pocket because we know that group of people tend to save less and spend everything. And therefore, where do they spend it? They spend it anywhere they can, but you're seeing this drive of the economy. This is why we're not having a recession. You know, you're seeing this consistently strong consumer demand and liquidity out there. And you have to also remember, as labor force participation comes back, more people are working than ever before. Median wage in the United States is about $55,000. You know, folks, if we just get back to labor force participation that we had prior to COVID, you'd be adding $198 billion into the U.S. economy every year. That's like taking Hungary and putting it in the middle of Ohio. And so these are demand drivers that are actually, you know, pushing us through and strengthening the underlying components of aggregate demand in this economy.
Which is why the Fed is saying, you know, the economy's too good still. Everything they've done has definitely taken inflation down, but not as fast as they want. So we are going to have inflation around a bit longer, and they're going to be more data dependent. And the Fed does not want a recession. They want a slowing economy, but they don't want to push in a recession. And so, but they also want inflation to go down a little faster. So they're having to deal with those two things. So we have. But the big thing that's going to happen this month, this next month, come July, is we are going to have third quarter earnings season. It's starting. And so that's where the focus is. The focus all of last year was about interest rates and the Fed and the Fed and the Fed. And of course, we still care about that. But as we just discussed, we're at the end. The Fed said at the most two more hikes of a quarter each. So it's kind of taking the backseat now. The thing we're going to be looking for is what the companies are going to say, what the earnings are going to be come July. We start with the financials in July, and those are going to be very important because we do see, the stress a little bit on the regional banks and the financial area. So we're very worried a little bit about that, but we're going to see where those come out. Where is that? Because that bleeding has stopped. The regional banks have stabilized as far as money taken out. So hopefully there'll be a recovery there. And so if earnings season come in, we could certainly see a much better half of the year when it comes to the market. So which is one of the reasons our next podcast, I want to make sure that let you know that we changed it to Thursday, July 27, which is the day right after the next Fed meeting. So the Fed meets again on July 26th. On Wednesday, we will meet on Thursday because we think there will be an interest rate hike at that time. But remember, right now, it's what the Fed says that matters, right? What do they say? And there'll be a lot of data that will have come out between now and then that they will have been able to look at, the unemployment rate, the PCE numbers, CPI numbers, non-farm payroll. They look. There's a whole data and dates of all these things that the JOLTS, which is job openings, and then they'll make the decision. We think they've kind of really forecasted that they will have an interest rate increase, but the market has already built that in. And like I said, it's not that bad, even if they raise twice. The market is adjusting to that.
So let me sum it up for everybody. I mean, the point is we've talked a lot in the last 23 minutes, but almost said the same thing over and over again. So let me sum it up for you. Okay, the Fed raised interest rates. They've decided to skip. That's a natural progression of a heightening cycle. They're coming to the end of it. Once they get to the end of it, families and corporations are going to be able to predict their cost of interest for housing, their cost of interest for cost of goods sold. And what you're going to see is a greater stability in demand factors and also, more importantly, in prices and margins. We think that you're going to see earnings surprises going forward because everybody was predicting this recession and that did not happen, that has not happened. So you're going to see probably some pretty good data coming up here as we get into earnings season. That's going to propel a broader market strengthening than we've had. So the market leadership is going to probably begin to not be so tight to a very small group of companies, but broader out. So in general, this is all good news
This does not mean that volatility is over. This does not mean that headlines are all going to be unicorns and balloons. But what it does mean is that we're seeing the next wave of stability, the next kind of ripple of stability as all of the things post-COVID dissipate and we get back to a more normalized economic system. So that's a positive move. Things don't happen as fast as the Fed wants them to happen. But I think the key thing to see is that we're going to continue to have a tight labor market. But in that tight labor market, you're going to continue to see people have jobs. Anybody that wants a job can have one. And that provides financial security across the board. And because of that, when you think about this whole issue, if you say a 4 million job loss in the economy is a recession, at this point, we could lose 4 million jobs in this economy and it not matter because it's 4 million jobs we can't fill anyway. So I think that you're basically seeing this much predicted recession as a non-event, and that means the stability is going to move us through to a broader market.
Yeah, and we must be answering questions quite a bit. We only have one client questions, so we must be doing a good job.
Go ahead.
The only question we have from this client is, how is it employers still can't find workers while the industrial indices are declining?
But the point of the matter is they're still having difficulty because it's the total value of jobs, right? You can see, tech workers get laid off at Amazon, and they get 6 months of severance or whatever. And before those 6 months are up or whatever their severance is up, they have another job somewhere else, right? So you're beginning to see that. So that's an industrial indices are declining. You know, you've seen prices paid go down a little bit, but there's a recession in San Francisco. There's not a recession anywhere else. If you're between the Appalachians and the Rockies, there is not a recession. If you're in San Francisco and maybe New York, you feel like there's a recession. Everywhere else, it's running on all eight cylinders.
With that, I want to thank you for joining, and I want to wish all the fathers out there, especially my husband, Happy Father's Day on Sunday. And also on Monday, the market is closed, and we are closed. It is June 19th. And what is that?
Day? Juneteenth.
Juneteenth. So that's a day off. So if you need us, you said you can contact us tomorrow or on Tuesday. And we will be with you again on July 27th. We'll have a lot to cover. It'll be earnings season, and there'll be another Fed meeting. So please join us then, and thank you very much, and good night.
Thank you for listening. Opinions voiced in this material are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Historical performance is no guarantee of future results. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. This information is not intended to be a substitute for specific individualized tax advice. We suggest that you discuss your specific tax issues with a qualified tax advisor. The economic forecasts set forth may not develop as predicted, and there can be no guarantee that strategies promoted will be successful. All investing involves risk, including loss of principal. No strategy assures success or protects against loss. All company names noted herein are for educational purposes only and not an indication of trading intent or a solicitation of their products or services. Layla Pence is a registered representative with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC. Financial planning offered through Pence Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. Dryden Pence is a registered representative with and offers securities and advisory services through LPL Financial, LLC, LPL Financial, member FINRA/SIPC and a registered investment advisor. Mr. Pence may offer financial planning services through Pence Wealth Management, PWM, a registered investment advisor. Pence Wealth Management, PWM, is a financial services practice within LPL Financial LLC, LPL Financial, comprised of multiple financial professionals that provide a series of services including personal investment advisory, third-party managed advisory and brokerage services. Pence Wealth Management Incorporated is an investment advisor registered with the state of California to provide financial planning services. The financial professionals affiliated with PWM are registered with and offer securities and investment advisory services through LPL Financial, member FINRA/SIPC and a registered investment advisor. As of December 31, 2021, the total assets serviced by PWM through LPL Financial consist of over $1.95 billion in advisory and $383 million in brokerage assets. PWM and LPL Financial are separate entities.